Father, we thank you for everyone in this place. We thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for everyone in here. We thank you, Jesus, that there are going to be tremendous lives, tremendous flows. We thank you that your spirit is strong in this ministry, and everybody has a beauty, a diversity, a beauty that you manifest in a very special way. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our time is up, and I believe I just joined in the flow shortly. I'm trusting that we are going to be giving to whatever it is that we are doing. I think today you had a holiday. Let me give you just one characteristic of childlike leadership before you go. Let me teach you before you go. Okay. So, we looked at some of the characteristics of a childlike leader, and we're going to continue on it. One of the things I want us to know is that I'm going to teach on it intentional, because I want to be intentional about it, right? The more you begin to recognize your pastor as a prophet, things change for you. It's true. I have seen people call themselves prophets, and I say, are you sure? Well, God was not there when they called, but I mean, you should be able to, at very key points, recognize the ministry of a prophet. You should be able to. Yes, you should be able to recognize the ministry of a prophet. And when you recognize the ministry of a prophet, you would always be blessed with the prophet's blessing. Right? Honestly, I may not be saying, I had to start recognizing Kenneth Hagin as a prophet. Yes, that's why you don't see me in my writings just say Reverend Kenneth Hagin, because that's like the title he uses, Reverend Kenneth Hagin. But I was one time asking the Lord, that how would I be able to receive that prophetic ministry that he has as a minister? And the Lord told me, he says, you are recognizing him as a teacher. Yes. And many times I've always recognized him as a teacher, because he blesses me in his writings, he blesses me in his teachings. And the Lord said, no, start to recognize him as a prophet. So when the Lord told me that, I now started to write teacher and prophet Kenneth Hagin. That thing, you will not see it anywhere. I have my reasons why I did that myself. Yes, I have my personal reasons. You will not see it anywhere. So when I see it, it makes me feel like I have and I receive the ministry of a prophet. Yes, that's how what it makes me feel like. And ever since I started doing that, I also started to see the grace of God in the ministry of the prophet, of the one that I've always been assuming and looking at and being blessed by the teachings. So it's good to always see your pastor as a pastor. Of course, he's your pastor. In the local church, he's your pastor. But there's an intentionality, right, when it comes to how you recognize. How you recognize. So I started to say prophet and teacher Kenneth Hagin. Prophet and teacher Kenneth Hagin. Because I believe that's the ministry I'm called to. I'm a pastor for you, but if I see that, I know I'm called to, is the teacher and the prophet. So I'm a pastor, yes. But it's also additional, the other additional sources that you can receive from. So as a church, I'm teaching you how to be very supernatural. When you come to me with matters that need to be handled, I'm teaching you spiritual wisdom. When you come to me with matters that need to be handled, you come to me with issues that need a certain kind of a supernatural intervention, or you need the power of God extended in the situation, or you need just God's mighty move in a certain way. Don't approach me as like pastor. You know, a pastor and the way he deals with things is different. Yes, it's different. He'll try to warm, he'll try to cuddle, you know, he'll try to, console. He'll try to, put himself in your stead, because that's what the pastor does. That's the office of the pastor. When the sheep are crying, you cry with them. When they are happy, you're happy with them. When there's something wrong, you sit down together with them and you suffer with them. That's the ministry of the pastor. They tell you their problems, you are just listening. That's all you do. You just listen and you try to give wisdom and you try to instruct. But the ministry of the prophet is not like that. When you come to a prophet, he doesn't have time to listen to you. Just, hey, go and do this and do that. Do this and do that. I was speaking to someone and I told the person that it's not something I do in my ministry. But I believe the person approached me as a prophet. So one of the signs undisputable that follows the ministry of the prophet is the ministry of signs. Yes, there are signs that accompany the ministry of the prophet. I don't know why I'm switching off into the ministry, but there are signs that approach the ministry of the prophet. And so it's just a hack before I get into our last, leadership characteristic or something. The leadership of a child and what it's characterized by. Right? So it's good. Pastor, brilliant, good. I am your pastor and I don't despise being your pastor. But I'm saying that when you want some well-stead and you want some supernatural interventions and you know this one, it takes the hand of God, don't come and say pastor. Pastor will just counsel you and help you. Do you understand? Yes, that's how the pastoral ministry is. And there is the prophetic ministry too. Yes, and one of the signs of the prophetic ministry is that many times we are just interested in the predictive realm of the prophetic ministry, but the prophetic ministry is not only predictive. The prophetic ministry is creative. It can create something that is not there. Yes, it creates. It doesn't only predict, it creates. Yes. So as I grow, you see it. You see that as that ministry grows more, you see that there'll be creations. Yes, it will be creating things. It's something that was not there, then it creates it. It creates it out of the word. So this is just a hack. I want you guys to receive of every ministry that God has given to me. And, you know, just enjoy it. Just suck it every time. And just say, wow, what a pastor. Because you'll be talking, I'll be listening to you. I would want to understand you. I would want to do that. And something happens, you say, no, prophet. You know, prophet. You know, it does something, right, to the grace of God. Our last leadership talk is that children, or the leadership of a child, is characterized by a lack of concentration. A lack of concentration. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more tossed, or we henceforth be no more children. And what are children going to be doing? They're going to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So you see, that's only a child, you know, that cannot concentrate on what they have been taught, and they are tossed, moved to and fro. They believe this today, they believe that tomorrow, next, they believe that something else the next time. So as we study, understand, and practice appropriate principles of leadership, we will have to make sure that we do not function like children. You see, you must be able to concentrate on your life. Let me tell you something. When I finished school, that was about 2 or 3 years after I finished school. My very close friend, I was close to him than anybody on campus. Very close friend. I had three friends. Yes, three friends. SHS, I had about two. University, I had one. So in all, maybe let's say three good friends. And then one of them spoke to me about his going to Germany. And I said, okay, I mean, if you are going, me, I'm not going. If you are going to Germany, you can go. But as for me, I don't think so. Then another one made up his mind that he was going to go to for some Anglo Gold opportunity. He's now practicing as a doctor, actually. And I said, okay, that's your path. And another one also came and said, he was actually the one that was close to me on campus. He said, I'm doing my PharmD. And just talk to, let me, Pascal, won't you do the PharmD? In fact, well, the day he was going to get, he said, I'm going to do it. I bought the forms. We are going to this. I've been picked. I was with him, the application process. He said, won't you? I said, no. No. I'm not tossed to and fro. When I say I want something, I want it. I can concentrate on what I want. And not be moving all over the place because somebody is going to do PharmD. If you're going to do PharmD, what am I going to use it for? No, I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm saying that realistically. You see that? I'm saying that realistically. I don't know. Not that I don't like it or something. When you put it real on the ground, I don't know. So I said, no, you go. I would rather consider being where I know God is leading me to go. You see, some of you, your problem is that you're looking around. You are looking around. And that, it won't cost you in Jesus' name. But that costs people. It costs people to, people who look around, it costs them. Because at the end of the day, you don't end up doing what you are very excited about doing. You don't end up doing something that you are happy doing. Your friend said you should go and do this thing, so you are also going to do it. No, you have to have a conviction. Have a conviction on what you want to do. What do you want to do? So there's a concentration that is needed for your life. Do you understand? There's a concentration. When you sit down, it's not about a lot of people are doing it, right? It's about what I have to do. What do I have to do? Today they'll tell you that Christ family, we are like this. Then you are afraid or you are taken aback. It's like you are not really sure. You are not sure. You are saying, oh, what if, say, the ministry, they like this. They like making people pray too much. They don't leave people to have time for anything. They are teaching people that they are eternally saved. And you just, because you can't concentrate. Is it not blessing you? But you can't concentrate. So you are listening to what this person says. You are listening to what some other person says. You are listening to, why are you listening? Why? But it's changing because we're going to start having people who grow up enough to be concentrated on what it is they have to do, what they have set their hearts to do, what they have set their minds to do. They are going to be concentrated on it. You don't need to join everybody else. You don't need to do what everybody else is doing. Yeah, a total concentration. You. What do you want to do? You. What do you want to do? So stop looking at my friend has bought this, my friend has this. Sometimes even as little as having gadgets, you still look around. Mommy, I really need to get an Apple laptop. Why? Why do you need to get an Apple laptop? Now everybody in my class, they sort of have Apple. No, that's wrong. If you live your life like that, be ready for miseries. Because you will always get what makes other people happy. And you never do what actually you have to do. I say this to you. Never look at somebody who is not in the ministry and envy them for a second. I'm telling you. Oh, never look at anybody that's not... Look, even if you are serving God and it feels like there are trials and stresses that come with it. Oh. Don't do it. Never look to anybody and envy them. That, oh, this person is not even doing this, but they are doing that. No. We don't have time for that at all. We don't have time for that. So you're going to bring all your forces to bear. Right? Concentrate. Concentrate. Do not be tossed to and fro and be carried with every wind of doctrine. One time, I met somebody who recommended Kenneth Hagin to me. And I said, No, I'm too concentrated on what I have. I don't have time for that. Unless maybe God was the one that... I said it was God. If not, the way my mind is sought on the things I want to do, it has to be God. It has to be God. You don't see me jump from one church to another, one ministry to... I don't do that. No, if I love somebody, I would have spoken to you about them. Yes. So you must learn how to concentrate. As a ministry, we'll have to learn how to concentrate. Let rockets, stones, firestorms be happening meters ahead of us. We are not going anywhere. We concentrate on what we are doing. As a ministry, we are not taking our nose here, following our nose there, doing this here. We don't know what we are doing. We are everywhere. You are here today. Tomorrow you are there. Tomorrow next you are here. Today you are in this ministry. Tomorrow you are in that ministry. Tomorrow you are watching this television minister. Tomorrow you are in this space. No, it doesn't help. we must learn how to concentrate. Concentrate on your life. Yeah? When you sit down in your room and you sit down, you talk about other people. I shared with you the story. I went in the midst of close to 60 or 70 pastors. And one time somebody who was with me said, I want to ask, you never talk about anybody. I wouldn't talk about anybody. In fact, it doesn't even occur to me to talk about somebody. It doesn't occur to me. There must be 1,001 things running through my mind. So don't talk about people. Concentrate on your life. When people come to celebrate and they tell you they've had this, they're doing this, they're doing that, be genuinely happy for them. Wow, I thank God for you. Oh, praise God. I thank God you work here now. Glory to God. It's a blessing to know. But make sure that does not become a distraction to you. You're genuinely thankful for the good that people experience. But you will not lose ground and start to pity yourself and start to say this. No, we don't live life like that. What is it you want to do? Some of you are in school, you should be concentrating. You should be concentrating. When you say, I love this person as a beloved, or as somebody that I just concentrate. Don't be loving 5 people at the same time. After you have already told the person that I love you, I want to spend the rest of... why would you do that? I don't like that. I don't like that. So if you're a guy and you're like that here, you are going to be in trouble with me. Yes, because one of the things I don't like is when you hurt innocent young girls. Because of you, they have problems. It's not here. I don't like it at all. Yeah. So I have to ensure that everyone, I don't normally use this term, but I feel like using it. Everyone who is like my daughter, they should be fine, secured. Yes. Yes. So you don't say that you like this person, you like another person, you like this person, and you have told all of them that you like them. Don't do that. Make up your mind. They said I have 2 minutes more. Make up your mind. Concentrate. What is it that you want to do? Concentrate on it. You have a degree. Concentrate on it. Or you want to get a degree. Concentrate. You want to do what? Concentrate. You want to finish this. Concentrate. Make sure there is that mind that sticks to things. Are you listening? So from this day, you are not going to be tossed to and fro. Paul actually is writing to the church in Ephesus. Right context is that they were tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They believe this today. Tomorrow they believe that. Tomorrow they say this. They say that. And the reasons why this happens is because they are not stable. So from today you're going to be stable. Yes, don't be unstable. Don't say I don't know what. Don't be unstable. God's helping you. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace and thank you for everyone here. Thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We give you all glory. We're grateful. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.